6 podcast, Friday weekend preview edition. There are no games to talk about, but we got plenty of NFL action. Greg Schiano of Rutgers wrapped up the coaching carousel. Yeah, that's it. after Chuck Pagano of the Baltimore Ravens went to the Colts, Schiano landed with the Buccaneers on Thursday. So we'll talk about the coaching carousel. We will talk about Jim Irsay ripping Peyton Manning, kind of calls him a politician, says he's campaigning. Then we'll talk about the possibility of Peyton landing with the Dolphins. And as a segue from there, we'll talk about Matt Flynn and how much freaking money he's going to make on the free agent market. Ryan Wilson, what do you say?
Word. Did you mention?
Wow. Nick, like that. What do you think about the Schiano hire?
Did you mention Nick Mangold's going to be on the show?
Oh, yeah. Nick Mangold's going to be on the show. That's actually the best part, isn't it?
I would think so. That's why I was a little flummoxed there at the opening. But, yes, I look forward to that. But, Schiano, I have no issue with it. I know that people are whinging about how awful he was at Rutgers. But if you look at Rutgers' record, they weren't that bad. He was there. He got there in 2001, and they were a truly awful program. Took him 5 years to rebuild it, sort of. And then they went on to win usually about 8 or 9 games a year. I think they won 4 games 2 years ago. But this year they went 9-4. And it's Rutgers.
It's a terrible college program. It was cranked out. They're terrible. They were bottom of the – they were like Wake Forest and Duke. I mean, that's what they were when he took over. And didn't he take them to the Orange Bowl? He had a bunch of winning years. He got Ray Rice there. He got Kenny Britt there. I mean, he's had some good players coming out of Rutgers. This isn't I know that they're a public university, but this isn't a school that is a football powerhouse. Let's make that clear. To succeed at Rutgers as a football coach is an impressive thing.
He was there from 2001 to 2011. He was 67-67 over that time, which is not bad considering he built it from scratch. Yeah. But the last 6 seasons, 49-28. So
right, I mean that's great.
Now the issue is recruiting high school kids is a lot different than recruiting free agents.
Yeah, but recruiting high school it's harder. Recruiting absolutely. In a school at a place like Rutgers,
I understand. But the issue is that you can land a kid once in a while, like Ray Rice. You can land a Ray Rice by accident. I'm sure Ray Rice probably wasn't heavily recruited to come out of high school because of his size.
Because he went to Rutgers.
Yeah. So unless you have some awesome personnel men running the personnel side of things for the Bucks, and they very well may. I mean, they had some success last year, but you're not going to be able to go out and outspend the Redskins or whomever.
That's true. But I think the difference is. All right, at a place like Texas or USC, when you leave somewhere when you leave somewhere like that, and you end up and you go to the pros, you're going from a significant advantage to a fairly level playing field.
Pete Carroll, for example.
Right, exactly. Pete Carroll leaves USC and goes to the Seahawks. I would argue that his advantage is stuffed. I mean, USC is a powerhouse. The Seahawks are, come to Seattle and play football.
That job, those are the type of jobs you don't leave unless something probably is about to happen.
like NCAA sanctions, right.
Yeah. Because Barry Switzer left Oklahoma in 89. Before the 89 season, because stuff was about to happen, and then he resurfaced 4 or 5 years later, replaced Jimmy Johnson in Dallas.
Well, yeah, but fair point. I guess what I'm just saying is that if you are a guy, if you're somewhere like Rutgers and you make the leap to the pros, your advantage that you're giving up by being a great recruiter isn't as bad because it's so much harder to recruit at a place like Rutgers.
Yeah,
come spend your 4 years in Jersey.
No, that's actually a good point. People like to make the jokes, like Lindell White, if he goes to the Seahawks, we have to take a pay cut from what he had at USC.
right.
Those type of jokes. And that, there's probably some truth to that somewhere down the line.
Ray Rice is still looking to get paid.
Exactly, and he should. But I have no issue with the hire, I'm sure. I mean, they look silly after Chip Kelly told him to beat it. But you know what? I was on Prisco's radio show earlier today, and he made a good point. He said, listen, you don't want to run the Chip Kelly offense in NFL. So it makes a lot more sense. Although I've seen some tweets, Josh, our colleague Josh Katzowicz, put up a post earlier on Thursday from tweets around the world about weighing in on Schiano.
Right.
I think Greg Bedard, the CBS Rapid reporter who also writes for the Boston Globe, said that he liked his recruiting. Clearly that worked, but he wasn't so crazy about his kind of game management style. So I don't know. We'll see. It wasn't like Raheem Morris was a home run.
Well, that's true. And look. Find me an NFL coach who manages games well, and I'll find you like somebody who isn't looking for a job.
Right. Let me ask you this, and then I will answer it, although I should probably answer it first because my answer will be better. Of all the guys, now that everything's settled, every team now has a coach. It would be hilarious if Jim Irsay fired Pagano like in 2 weeks and hired someone else. But as we speak, everyone has a job. Is there anyone who is unemployed or who is still an assistant who should be head coach?
You caught me off guard. We didn't prep on that one. So I'll say Rod Chudzinski.
I'm surprised you didn't say Cam Newton as a player.
Cam Newton.
I was thinking Mike Zimmer.
Zimmer and Rod Chudzinski are the two main ones. They both interviewed for the Tampa Bay job. I get the feeling that Tampa obviously didn't want to go the assistant route. And I don't think that Chud would have left Carolina. I think that if he'd gone back to Carolina and said, hey, I got an offer from Tampa, they would have said, look, we'll make you assistant head coach and give you a pay raise, but just hold off. You'll get your job. And he would have said, that's cool because I'm not going to Tampa.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's not like Ron Rivera's going to retire. He's going to get that job and have Cam Newton.
No. But you say, like, I mean, because, look, a full offseason with Cam, another regular season, his stocks just should just go up.
Yeah.
And I don't think you want to lose your offensive coordinator in the division, if possible.
Yeah, not fair enough, I guess. I mean, I don't know. It depends on how bad he wants to be head coach, I guess. And you don't have to take every job, as Jason Garrett proved and then had it blow up in his face.
Right. Well, and like we said, yeah, I mean, like, just because there's a job open, you don't have to take it. And, again, this Tampa Bay job's not that good.
Now, I did mention Zimmer, but I don't think that any of the hires were necessarily bad hires or won't be good fits for wherever they got their jobs. I just thought that Zimmer seems like one of these guys. And it's funny, no one mentioned Rob Ryan, by the way, who totally, you mentioned that in your post on Thursday.
He's
burned so many bridges that it's going to take too long to rebuild him in time for him to get another job interview for a head coaching gig. So,
by the time he gets another interview, it'll be grown back out. Look, I think Rob Ryan, that should be a real concern for him because he was like the top, he and Brian Schottenheimer were the top candidates for openings, you know, before this season started.
And Rob Ryan, I understood. I never understood why Schottenheimer was.
Name value and, you know, getting some production out of Mark Sanchez. And, I mean, those guys sunk their own battleships.
Well, Schottenheimer worked his way out of New York, which is what he wanted to do, and he seems... We'll see what happens now. He's in a pretty good situation with the Rams. They have Bradford. The coach isn't an insane person, at least not publicly. So we'll see how that offense looks. It didn't look like much under Josh McDaniels. Now, they had a lot of injuries. And
they got to go get a wide receiver.
They weren't a very good team. Well, they had Brandon Lloyd, but, I mean,
he's
you know.
He's going to New England. I mean, he is. He already said he's following Josh McDaniels. He'd be great in New England.
Well, here's the list of to-do list for New England. Well, they're going to get rid of Chad Ochocinco, but I think depending on what happens with Peyton, if Peyton goes to the Jets, Reggie Wayne will go there. If Peyton goes somewhere else, Reggie Wayne will go to New England.
You think Reggie Wayne will go to New England? I mean, I know you're. I like that idea. I like your idea. I think it's cool, but I don't think it's.
We talked about that before. I think we talked about it after the Colts beat the Texans in that really weird either Sunday or Monday night game. I can't remember which. But he's definitely. He ain't coming back to Indy. Irsay won't have him back, and he's probably had enough of the Orlovsky and what's the guy with long hair. Curtis Painter combo.
Rob Ryan.
Right. Skinny Rob Ryan is their quarterback. But I think he could do things in New England that Chad Ochocinco clearly can't. He's used to running a precise offense. Chad came from street ball in Cincy where the most important thing was to keep the inmates from overrunning the asylum, not so much winning football games. So I do feel bad for Chad, though. I will say that. He is an extremely hard worker, and I think – he's just had a run of awful luck in New England this year. I have no explanation for it. I don't know if I can't imagine the skills dropped off that much. But either way, he ain't coming back. And I think Lloyd or Wayne makes sense. Lloyd probably makes a little more sense because he's younger and more athletic. But at this point, I don't think Brady likes athleticism as much as he knows where his guy is going to be when he throws the ball.
Yeah, but Lloyd knows Josh McDaniels' system back and forth. Josh McDaniels is the guy who made Lloyd
good.
Good, yeah. I mean, like I think he's just going wherever McDaniels goes, and if McDaniels is running that offense, they'll sign him. I mean, they can figure out a way to get – look, if they want to get Reggie Wayne, Brandon Lloyd, Wes Welker, and the Gronkowskis, I mean, that would be a pretty good offense.
Yeah, bring back Randy Moss while you're at it.
He can coach the wide receivers. Moving along.
Straight cash on
me. So who do you did you already say this? Do you hate any of the hires? Do you like any of the hires?
Yeah, I'm fine with the hires. I have no guttural reaction to any of them in the sense that I think they were awful decisions. I like the Pagano hire a lot.
I do too. I'm starting to really think that that's going to pan out well for him. I think as I wrote in the Winners Losers post, if you look at it, it's very similar. You know, we talked about this beforehand, whether they would get an offensive coach and draft a quarterback and let him grow with that quarterback, or whether they would get a defensive coach, hire a coordinator or a passing guru, let him worry about the quarterback and then build the defense. Well, I think they're obviously going with the same route they went with, you know, Dungy and Caldwell and the guys before them. But so they're going to build this defense, but instead of being a Tampa 2 that is not conducive to stopping the run and eventually will fall apart if that, you know, if things don't go your way, they're going to build an attacking 3-4, and I think that makes a lot more sense.
I agree. Why if you're blowing up the whole operation, blow it all the way up. Don't keep pieces.
Don't half-ass your explosions.
That's right. Blow it up. Yeah. But, you know, listen, Pagano did a lot. People were complaining last year when Madison was there before he left to go take the Michigan job that defense wasn't aggressive enough. And they gave up that huge third and forever completion to Antonio Brown last year in the playoffs that cost them that playoff game to get to the AFC Championship game. And it was because they rushed three guys on third and 15. And fans and media are like, really, what are you doing? You usually beat the crap out of Ben Roethlisberger, and you're giving him time back there to throw bombs and allowing someone to get past the last line of defense when you know a bomb's coming.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Pagano came in week one, 35-7 whooping, and they just kept it going from there. The defense had absolutely nothing to do with why they lost to the Patriots. But let me ask you this. There was a report. Well, it sounds like Cam Cameron's coming back, which just blows my mind. I'm happy about that as a Steelers fan. But there was also a report that Pagano and Harbaugh had words during the Texans game about some scheme or some such, and someone mentioned that there might be some stuff to smooth over if they were going to work going forward. Now, I would imagine the coaches yell at each other all the time, but it was an interesting nugget that I saw, and I don't think it had anything to do with Pagano leaving, but I thought it was ironic that he was the one that had words with the head coach and not Cam Cameron.
Well, the thing, though, is it seems to me like the – you know, Ryan Grigson, the GM of the Colts, said that they got their man. And it seems to me, I mean, they hired him on Wednesday, you know, after the Ravens were eliminated on Sunday. So, I mean, it seems to me that they must have been targeted on Pagano all along. I don't know. It seems a little too not.
Well, the Glazers said that they got their man as well. And the first time I heard.
No, you didn't. You missed on Chip Kelly. I mean.
Yeah, that's right. But, I mean, presumably they didn't just talk to Chiano 2 minutes after Kelly said beat it, and then they made a decision 30 minutes later. I would like to think that they interviewed him at some point earlier in the process, but maybe they didn't. I don't know.
Yeah, that's weird. You know, for all we know, it could be something like word got out that they were talking to Chip Kelly, and Shiano was like, holy crap, hey, hold on, hey, agent, go tell the Bucks. I mean, he's like, the Big East is collapsing, everybody's going to the ACC, go call the Bucks, tell them I want to come. You know,
yeah.
last job open. Although, surely you would think he would have feelers out, you know, beforehand.
Yeah, you know what, though? These things actually happen pretty fast. It's, I mean, maybe a day or two is all you need. How often are there second or third interviews? I'm not sure. I don't know the process. But I do know, I mean, I remember that when Cowher retired, it was a pretty quick process. Wasn't Hunt ended up taking the Carr's job because he didn't want to wait around. Tomlin came in and sort of blew everyone's socks off. They didn't expect it. And that sort of ball got rolling. So, you know, maybe it is a quick process. I guess
it's a quick process if you know what you're doing.
But okay, fair enough.
But yeah, I mean, usually I think you have two interviews. I mean, but if you know, if you're not sure, I think two interviews is, you know, industry standard. But if you don't know what you're doing,
you only had one interview.
No, I got a second one at CBS.
Do you think that Grigson had any major role in the decision to hire Pagano, because he doesn't have any role in Peyton's future? And I could see Irsay sitting in the meeting room in a chair that's, you know, about 16 inches higher than everyone else's chair, looking down as he decides who's going to be hired and who's not, while Grigson's over there taking notes. What do you think about that?
I think that's awesome. I think that Grigson has I think this is a good training wheel stage for him, and I don't know the guy, and I mean, for all I know, he's the one running it.
But well, he ain't running Peyton's future.
No, he's not, and that's fair though. I mean, like, you know, Irsay didn't want to be like, hey, you're gonna have to come in and make a choice on Peyton Manning, because I mean, obviously they have to be on the same page.
Here's the thing: I understand that he's a junior GM in training and all that, and he probably is really good at his job because this is a very important job. And I don't mean to slight him, but you can bet your ass that Polian is consulting with Ursay, but he probably has a lot of weight in terms of Peyton's future had he not been canned. And I mean,
Polian. Yeah, totally, and that's probably why he. That's probably why he got canned again.
Your dog disagrees.
No, Polian would have no say. I think that the thing with Gregson is that Caldwell, Ursay set him up where his first two decisions are one. A firing of Jim Caldwell, easy decision. You meet Jim Caldwell. Hello, Jim. Blank stare. Right. So, Jim, do you think you should keep your job? Blank stare. And then you fire him, and that looks smart. The fans like you. And then the next move is to go out and hire another defensive head coach. And I think they probably went together on that. But ultimately, you know, Ursay gave his recommendations, and it would have been wise for Gregson to listen. But he just hired Gregson, so they're probably on the same page.
So I brought up Peyton Manning. What do you think of these tweets just tweets going one way? I don't think Peyton Manning has time for Twitter, but Jim Ursay certainly does. He had some kind of weird tweets on Thursday about Peyton being a politician.
Yeah, and he said that Peyton is campaigning. I didn't see the tweets. I was out at the gym, so out walking my dog with her jingly collar. I think that Ursay is kind of – look, Peyton sat down with this star, and it's pretty obvious that when he was sitting down talking to Bob Kravitz and saying how much he loved Indy and how it felt sad and how – well, I mean, he did. He said it felt sad around the facility.
Sounds like an after-school special.
It does. I mean, it read like that, and you're kind of like – it's like this is brutally honest Peyton. But I think that
– he found out his teenage sister was pregnant.
Yeah, but I think that what Peyton was doing was getting it out in the public. I think that was the moment where Peyton had publicly admitted without saying it that he won't be back with the Colts, but he wanted the fans to know that he would like to be back with the Colts. And so I think he was doing a little PR spin. But
And Ursay tweeted a day later, quote, unquote, keep it in the house, and then called him a politician. And then Kravitz actually tweeted later that the situation is sadly deteriorating between Peyton and the organization.
Yeah, which, I mean, but to be expected. I mean, this is the beauty of, of a situation like this, because now we get to see what I guess everybody likes to call in NWA Hulk, which is where Peyton goes. Now at this point, Peyton's like, all right, I'm going to the dark side, and I'm going to, whatever the dark side might be. It might be Arizona, it might be the Jets, it might be the Dolphins, but I'm coming after you, Jimmy, and I'm going to rip your heart out.
Hey, let me ask you this. I was on ESPN's Indianapolis station a few days ago, with JMV, and he asked me this question, and I want to see what you think. He said, what would be harder to take as a Colts fan, knowing what you know right now, which is basically nothing about Peyton's health?
Sure.
Stick with Peyton and not draft Andrew Luck, or cut ties with Peyton and take Andrew Luck? What would be the tougher thing to deal with, seeing Peyton go somewhere else and play well, or keeping Peyton and seeing Andrew Luck go somewhere else and play well?
Luck, totally. Peyton's max 3 to 5 years, right?
Yeah. That's what I said.
And, I mean, like, that would suck to watch him go and play well, and he could blow it up. But he's not going to, like, go somewhere and win a Super Bowl immediately. Plus, you've already got a Super Bowl with Peyton. But if you watch a quarterback of the future go somewhere else because you passed on him,
yep,
and watch him, like, blow the NFL up for 20 years, it's brutally devastating. And not to mention, if Andrew Luck comes in and is what everybody says Andrew Luck will be, people will forget about Peyton Manning.
Yeah, that's the thing, though. I'm not sure he's going to be what everyone thinks he's going to be.
I don't think so either, because people expect him to be Peyton Manning, and there's just, like, he could be Matt Ryan. But you know what I mean?
In that case, I want to keep Peyton Manning.
No, but you know what I mean. I mean,
I agree. I think even if it's Matt Ryan, you have to take Matt Ryan right now in year one.
Peyton Manning costs $28 million and might never play again.
Yeah, that's not a bargain.
No, absolutely not. I mean, so let's say Luck is somewhere between, and I guess I'm somewhere, I mean, somewhere between Matthew Stafford and Matt Ryan in that range. I mean,
that's really good. I thought you were going to say Matt Ryan and Joe Flacco.
No. I mean, but you take him in a heartbeat, right?
Yeah, Yeah, yeah. Between Matthew Stafford and Matt Ryan, yes, you do take him. Between Matt Ryan and Joe Flacco, I 60%.
Yeah, yeah. You just hate Joe Flacco and his unibrow.
He played well in that last game, but
do,
I mean,
how do you think this is gonna? I mean, so at this point, Irsay's gonna decline the option. We have to assume. I mean, he's calling Peyton Manning names in public. Do you see this getting elevated, like getting more ugly? I mean,
I don't know. Peyton doesn't seem like one to call other people out unless they're drunk kickers talking smack about him.
Right.
So I would imagine that he probably won't have much to say about this. And people will ask him and he won't say anything. He's sort of like Tom Brady in that sense that he usually just keeps his mouth shut. Now, the next conversation we'll be having is where is he going to end up? I know you and Benoit talked about this.
We did.
Cardinals are interested. The Dolphins said they would be interested. And everyone's like, well, yeah, no kidding, they would be interested. But not.
You know who else is interested?
The Jets.
The Jets. So why don't we talk to Nick Mangold and we'll see what he thinks about it. Yeah.
Ask him about his long hair, as long as those are talking about long hair.
Oh, I will ask him about his long hair, and I will also ask him about his boy Mark Sanchez. Nick, how you doing, man?
Good. How you doing?
Doing well. I'll ask you the question that everybody wants to know the answer to. How is your beard holding up in Hawaii?
Oh, well, you know, I trimmed it.
Okay, I thought I saw that. But
yeah, it got cut down. It's still a good, you know, almost an inch or so, but I definitely couldn't be in the warm weather with that ridiculousness on my face.
No, it's cool. You're a fan of the Pro Bowl in Hawaii? Are you one of the guys that wants to see it maybe move? Or I mean, to me, I don't know that I could ever get sick of vacationing in Hawaii, but I guess I understand maybe some logic behind it.
No, I love the fact that it's out here. You know, I think it's great for the players. You know, it makes it that much more special of an honor, you know, to be selected with amazing players. And then the fact that you get the opportunity to, you know, bring the family out to Hawaii and spend a little time out here. I think it's great for the people out here. You know, Hawaii is a little disconnected when it comes to pro teams, and to give them the chance to see a game and to have the guys out here, I think it's great for the community. You know, it's well received, and you know, everyone's so friendly out here. You know, you kind of want to stick around. So I love the fact that it's out here, and I hope it stays out here for a long while.
tell Roger Goodell he needs to get working on expansion.
A 5-hour flight to LA though.
That's true. You're working with P&G out there doing the Pro Bowl Community Blitz. Can you talk a little about that? As I understand, you got a fan with you, and you guys are helping out in the community. Just kind of tell our listeners about that.
Yeah, so it's the P&G the fan that we're with is Joanne Michele. She's the ultimate P&G super parent, and she got that by you know, doing great community service, getting kids out and moving around, and that's the whole idea of the Play 60 idea, is that you know, get kids out playing and having a good time outside. We were able to spend time doing a playground yesterday, which was a neat experience. It's a beautiful location, you know, right there. You couldn't ask for a better spot for it. And, you know, to see the community come together and be able to put so much time and effort into something for the kids, it was great to be a part of, and, you know, really appreciative that we had the opportunity to do that.
Yeah, and I don't know that you're necessarily with the whole Gillette connection, the ultimate Procter & Gamble guy, but they do a lot of relevant and cool products.
I don't think the Gillette people like me so much. But, you know, I think we might work on that as I get a little bit older.
Right on. All right, I got to ask you, you know, one of the big stories this offseason has been Mark Sanchez and whether or not the Jets locker room had his back. I know that some anonymous Jets talked to the Daily News, ripped him publicly, and you came out shortly thereafter and really defended him. Have you gotten a chance? I know you're out there with Darrell Revis and some other teammates. Have you guys talked about that and what you plan on doing when you get back back with the team, you know, after the season's over?
Yeah. No. You know, I think we've really taken the opportunity for this week to really enjoy the accomplishment and the you know, the excitement of the Pro Bowl, kind of leaving that stuff back in New York and you know, really taking time to enjoy time with family and friends and everything. But I assume, you know, when we get back, we'll get into it and try to figure out the best way to handle things. You know, my biggest issue that I had with it was the fact that, you know, if you're going to have to say, if you're going to say something, you know, be man enough to put your name on it. And then, especially if you're going to say something that's not true, you know, it was disappointing to see, that come from, allegedly from our locker room. And, you know, I think we're going to nip that in the bud, as soon as we get back together.
Revis, I saw, said that the locker room problems, I think his quote was, they ran, quote, real deep. And, you know, I think that one thing about y'all's team, and maybe partially why you guys had so much success, but there are so many big personalities. Do you think that that's a, having that many personalities on one roster can be a problem? Or is it something else, maybe the way that they mix together that might have caused problems in 2011?
Yeah, you know, I think one of the big things, you know, that we're all a bunch of competitive guys that really want to win, and, you know, we had quite the roller coaster year. And, you know, when you let the frustrations boil over, you know, things, no, nothing good can come from that. So I think, you know, the biggest thing that we got to handle is making sure that we understand that we're all in this together, and, you know, this is our football family. And, you know, I think the lockout kind of hurt us in that regard that, you know, we didn't get an opportunity to spend time together in the spring, you know, go away for training camp and everything like that. Things that I think have really helped this team, you know, bond and be, you know, the family that we need to be. And, you know, I think those are all correctable things and all things that we're going to get fixed going into 2012.
All right, I'm required by law, well, sports writers law anyway, to ask you about Peyton Manning. He's it's really weird because, you know, you guys had, there's a lot of drama around the Jets, and then the Peyton Manning stuff really started boiling up, and unfortunately it's boiled over into your sector, and there's a lot of chatter about the Jets as a possible destination for Peyton. Is that something that you could envision in happening, and how much interest would you have in that, you know, handing snaps to a guy like Manning?
No, I don't put too much credit to it. You know, we have our guy Mark Sanchez. I think he will be a heck of a player for us this coming year, and I you know, I don't expect Peyton to be here. You know, but at the same time, you said that, you know, any one of the great quarterbacks, you know, of all time in the league was healthy and ready to go, of course you'd take him. But, you know, Mark's my guy, and that's the guy I'm going onto the field with 2012.
You know, you guys have a new offensive coordinator, Tony Sperano, is coming in, and he seems, I mean, I think by reputation, he's kind of a run-heavy type of guy. Is that something that you guys are looking for? He's obviously, you know, been a really good offensive line coach in his career, too. Is that something you're excited about with Tony coming in? And what kind of changes do you anticipate going forward into the next season with him running the offense?
Yeah, you know, I was able to sit down with Tony for a couple of minutes and, you know, got to, you know, do the meet and greet and the pleasantries and everything. And I'm excited about, you know, the way that he's looking to take this offense. And it'll be nice having an offensive lineman oriented coordinator, because usually right. Offensive linemen are at the bottom of the totem pole. And, you know, we're kind of put in our dark room and said, hey, you guys figure it out. And, you know, we'll work on the important stuff. So, you know, I'm excited to have, you know, somebody with an offensive line background, you know, coordinating things. And, you know, it should be exciting. I look forward to seeing, you know, his playbook and, you know, the direction he's going to take things, you know, and, you know, really the opportunity to learn more about the game and see it from a different point of view.
Obviously, Sanchez was a bit of a scapegoat for the 2011 season. Another guy that you know, I mean, objectively speaking, looks like he got hung out to dry a little bit is Brian Schottenheimer. He obviously landed on his feet. You know, he's in St. Louis, got a good situation there with Jeff Fisher and Sam Bradford. But do you think he got maybe a little too much blame for the struggles of the offense last year?
Oh, yeah. You know, I wish Brian all the best and everything in St. Louis. And I think, you know, when you're sitting there calling up plays and everything, you know, if they're not executed, it doesn't matter what you call. You know, it's not going to work. And, you know, I think our execution wasn't where it needed to be. And, we kind of failed there a little bit. And, you know, just as coordinator gets a lot of love when things are going well, you know, they take a lot of heat when things aren't going so well, you know, same way with the quarterback. So, you know, I think they understand it comes with the territory, but, you know, we got to do a better job executing to make things better.
Were you surprised by LaDainian Tomlinson's comments on Showtime? You know, he really, I don't want to knock LT too much here, but this is kind of the second, and I don't know that whether he'll be back with the Jets next year or not either, but this is kind of the second time after a season with the team where things have sounded a little fishy in terms of, you know, at least he's had some complaints about the locker room. I know he said some things when he left San Diego. Were you surprised by what he said on Showtime on Inside the NFL?
Yeah, you know, a little bit. But again, you know, LT is another crazy competitive guy. You know, I had a blast playing the past 2 years. So, you know, it's frustrating for all of us. And, you know, I think that, you know, it's one of those things, you know, when things aren't going so well, everything seems glaring, you know, and that's I think that's probably what he was seeing there.
All right. Well, we've got to ask you about the Super Bowl, and I'm sorry. I feel worse asking about this than I do about the 2011 Troubles. Because is this the worst possible matchup for you guys, for you, or, you know, as a Jets player? I mean, Patriots and Giants?
No, by far. You know, I probably won't watch the game.
Really?
No. I'm really rooting for a tie. I don't think Goodell's going to let that happen. But, you know, if we can get away with a tie, I think that would be probably the best outcome we can have as the Jets organization and the fans and players and everything.
At least when you look at the game, you got experience playing against, you know, both defenses what do you think the Patriots can do to neutralize this Giants pass rush? Because they really are ferocious. And I think that one thing that, you know, and we saw this in 2007, is that you can get after, you know, if you can get after Tom Brady with four guys, you stand a much better chance against the, and in fact, when you guys beat the Patriots in the playoffs too, if you can get after Tom Brady and kind of hit him in the mouth, then you stand a better chance. Can the Patriots do anything to neutralize the Giants?
Yeah, you know, I think they'll be ready for him, you know, but again, I haven't put much thought into the game because it really kind of fires me up a little bit. So, you know, I'm just going to let it go and, you know, see where the chips fall with that whole thing.
All right, sounds good. I'll get you out on this. Give me an MVP prediction for the Pro Bowl.
Prediction for the Pro Bowl. I'd really like to see Brandon Moore, you know, get that MVP nod. I'm thinking he picks up a fumble and runs it in. Game-changing play. So I'm going Brandon Moore.
I like it. And I hope you have your Alex Mack moment this year.
I can only hope. I got my fingers crossed.
All right. Hey, Nick, I really appreciate it, man. Have fun out there in Hawaii, and thanks for talking to us.
Cool. Thank you. Have a good one.
Later, man. All right, so good stuff from Nick Mangold. Do you think that Peyton Manning would work with the Jets?
Yeah, of course he would. I told you that Reggie Wayne would be there, so that's already one built in.
I don't think they have room for that.
You cut Plaxico, you know, maybe you can trade Santonio. I don't know where you would trade him to at this point, because maybe the Raiders, it's always they're the fallback, but Al Davis is gone and there's a new regime there, so I don't know. And they can make it work. They always seem to make it work. Trade, you know, you cut Mark Sanchez, free up some money there.
$14 million.
And imagine all the money they're going to save on hair care products that they have to stock Sanchez's locker with. But, yeah, of course so. And he's going to bring his own offense. He ain't learning nobody's offense. Who the hell is offensive coordinator?
Tony Sperano. He would.
Oh, Sperano, right.
He'd be like, thank you.
Finally.
So I'll just nod knowingly when you run draws.
This is going to be the easiest job ever.
Does that sound okay with you, Peyton?
I'm going to stand over here and wear this Caldwell mask, and then you do whatever you usually do. Yeah, no, I think certainly that would work. And they would – I don't know. Would they be – They wouldn't be the favorites in the East, though.
No, but that would mean Peyton and Brady would play twice a year,
and that he would have to share Manhattan with his brother, which some people think can't happen for some reason. I don't know why.
I think that would be problematic.
Why?
They wouldn't like that.
It worked for Jeter and A-Rod.
The Mannings the Mannings are totally cool with attention, but they only really like attention when it's bringing them more endorsement money.
Why would that? Excuse me.
You got people following you around. I mean, the thing about Peyton too is that you got to remember, dude's been living in Indianapolis for the, like, and then Knoxville, I mean,
yeah, but Eli has grown. He fits right in the New York City area. I think he lives in New Jersey. So, yeah, that's not a problem. He doesn't. Peyton's not going out every night. He has infant twins, I believe.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, so, yeah. No, I don't know. I think it's totally different. I mean, look, as a guy who,
and you know what, I could see, like, Peyton's family and Eli's family living in the same house. They seem like that's something that would be pretty normal for the Mannings. Just everyone in one big room kicking it,
wearing sweaters,
wearing sweaters, and singing Christmas carols no matter the time of year.
Yeah, that actually makes sense. All right, let's talk about another AFC East team that Peyton might fit on. The Dolphins, reportedly, you read about this on Wednesday. Reportedly, are going hard after Peyton Manning. They want Peyton Manning's their guy. What do you think?
It's a lot of money. And I'm actually sort of in the same conversation we had about Andrew Luck or Peyton Manning. I would actually give some consideration to leaning towards Matt Flynn for a relatively reasonable price. I'm not talking Matt Castle money or Kevin Cobb money, but a reasonable price. And wait, what did Aaron Rodgers say, though? He said he had some insight into where Matt Flynn might be going.
He said he thinks Flynn's going to the Dolphins.
No, he said... Oh, that's right. He said the Dolphins in Seattle. So that's the other mystery behind door number three candidate. I don't know. I just don't. We talked about this.
Seattle keeps being a wild card for quarterbacks like every year, and they just settle on Charlie Whitehurst and Tavares Jackson.
Well, I think they've thrown up their hands with Charlie Whitehurst. He's gone. I thought T-Jack actually played pretty well down the stretch, and he was hurt.
He did. Given
the way he played there, that was probably the most consistent he's played ever, that you think that Seattle would want to stick around with him, but maybe not. But I don't know. I just don't think Dolphins work for Peyton just because of the money and the age and the uncertainty about his injury. And Matt Flynn clearly isn't the go-to, isn't clearly the answer no matter what, but I think he's a better choice. And I don't think they're in a position to draft a quarterback that will help them immediately. I don't know. I don't know what you do. Do you bring back Chad Henne? I mean, he wasn't awful.
No, I think, look, if you're the Dolphins, you explore the possibility of Peyton Manning, see how much it would cost. This is where it could get ugly with the Dolphins, because let's say that Jeff Ireland and Joe Philbin really want Matt Flynn, right? I mean, Joe Philbin more than, if the Dolphins don't get Matt Flynn or Peyton Manning, that tells you something about Matt Flynn, by the way, because Joe Philbin's his coach. I mean, they're tight. So I think that Ross will want Peyton Manning because that will sell a ton of tickets in South Beach.
Yeah, but using that theory, he would have gone. Well, he did try to go after Jeff Fisher. Yeah. So,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he wants to spend his way into making this team popular.
That works. Just look in Washington.
Oh, right. Yeah. I was like the Nats, they spent. I think that he will want to go after Peyton Manning, but I think that this team may end up going, just depending on how high Joe Philbin is on Matt Flynn, going with Flynn, because Flynn, if he can work with Philbin, has to be willing to take some sort of discount. And let's say we're talking about Alex Smith getting $30 million over 3 years.
And those are numbers we just made up, right? We haven't heard that anywhere.
That's the rumor. Comcast Bay Area, I believe, said that.
Really? Because we actually said that on the podcast.
I know. I told Benoit that. I was like, did you see the rumor numbers? And he was like, what are you talking about? You must have been talking about that with Wilson. I was like, no, I said $30 million 3 years.
Yeah. Good job.
Yeah, pretty sweet. So we're smart. We're right again.
We're on our way.
Yeah. So I think that if you're Flynn, I mean, something, but 5 years, you're going to get 5 years. I mean, you've been riding the pine. You've got to get that one. You have to get that one deal, right?
Yeah, for what? He started two games.
No, if you are Matt Flynn.
I understand that, but.
What do you want him to be like? You know what? I've only started two games, you guys. Just
look,
don't give me too much money now.
Like Chiano, you don't blame the person cashing the checks. You blame the person writing them. But right. My point is that. I know there's so many QB needy teams out there, but you just can't give him $50 million over 5 years. Is that what you're talking about? Probably that kind of money?
But I think that he is, yeah. I mean, I think that $50 million, $60 million. I mean,
okay. No,
it's insane. Don't get me wrong. I agree with you. But I think that if you're Matt Flynn, you'll be like, look, I'll do $10 million a year, Joe. I'll do $10 million a year because I like you. They'll front load it. It won't all be guaranteed. It'll be like Kevin Cobb's deal. And he might go down there and blow it up. I think he'll be Matt Schaub 2.0. You think he'll be Kevin Cobb 2.0.
No, I don't. I think he'll be somewhere in between. I think he's shown that he can play, but he's smaller than Schaub. I don't think he is as – I don't know. I'm not sure about his arm strength. I don't want to comment on that. But I think coming out, there are questions about his arm strength. Maybe he's been
– Yeah. Well, there are questions about Aaron Rodgers' arm strength, too.
Yeah. Now look at him. He's doing discount double-check commercials.
Yeah. Well, and here's the other thing about Flynn. I think that it makes a huge difference if you're going to – you're going to go work – like your quarterback's coach is the head coach. I mean, I know he's got other stuff he's going to be working on. But, I mean, if you go and play for Philbin, you're limiting the transition time to a new team.
So I just want to transition sort of not very smoothly, pretty roughly actually. But it's a quarterback conversation. But I just saw this come over the over the wire, quote unquote. I have a little ticker in my office. The Vikings have the number 3 pick, and Rick Spielman, the general manager, has made it clear that they are willing to trade that pick, which leads me to believe that the Redskins are now scrambling to find a phone to call the Vikings and see if they can trade up, because they want – the rumors that they want to trade up to get RG3.
Okay, so here's the interesting thing is that the – all right, so the Rams and the Vikings, we got the 2 and 3 overall picks, right? I mean, these guys would like to get out of those slots, I think.
Right.
But the Rams, supposedly now the Browns are floating out information that they don't want to trade up and grab RG3, which seems silly because I would be sad if I didn't want, you know, obviously maybe that's a smokescreen, but if I didn't want RG3, I would be salivating and pretending like I was desperate for him just to make Dan Snyder overpay.
Right, which is what the Vikings are doing. They don't want a quarterback, but they know enough at least to be like, hey, guess what, Dan?
Yeah, and well, here's the thing with the Vikings is that they know the Colts will take a quarterback at, let's say, the Rams or the Vikings are – the Vikings know that the Rams, Browns, and Colts and Redskins are not going to be drafting Matt Khalil, who's the guy they want. So the Vikings – because you know, they need a left tackle. So the Vikings hope to get down and grab Khalil at a little cheaper cost and pick up an extra draft pick. I would assume the Rams want to do something similar, but the problem is they want Justin Blackmon, we think, and it makes sense.
And, yeah, it sure does.
Right, but the Browns need a wide receiver too. So I think the Rams have to be worried that if they trade with someone other than the Browns, who would presumably be getting RG3 if they trade up, that if they trade back below the 4 spot, then they could lose out on Blackmon to the Browns, and that's not something they can afford doing.
Yeah, it's funny how, you know, they've broken this down to one pick here and one pick there. And I was thinking while you were talking that I think during the 2006 draft it was the Ravens and Browns swap picks. The Ravens moved ahead of the Browns, maybe the top 10, top 15 picks in the first round. I have to go back and look. And the Ravens traded up that one pick to get Haloti Ngata. And the Browns, the pick later, took Cameron Wembley. And Wembley had a great rookie season, but you can make a very convincing argument that the Browns would be a lot better if they had taken Ngata there. Now, I don't know if they were going to or not. The Ravens didn't want to wait around and see. But I think it only cost them a fourth-round pick to move up from maybe 13 to 12, I think maybe is what it was. So, you know, there's something to be said. If you got a guy that you like and it's one pick ahead, make that happen.
No, look, I agree. I mean, it's one thing to get, like, you always want to trade down and get the quote-unquote proper value for a pick. You know, you don't want to, you know, like the Panthers are – see how I did that? The Panthers are a great example because they need some defensive tackle help, but at their spot, either 8 or 9, it might not be great there. So they'd love to trade down. But if there's somebody there that they like, they have to go ahead and get them even if it's out of position. I thought the best example of this is last year at the 49ers and Alden Smith. They loved Alden Smith. They took him 9th overall. It looked like a reach at the time, but it ended up being an absolute slam dunk. And they you know, they didn't mess around. They might have tried to trade down, but they got the guy they wanted at the pick they wanted. Didn't mess around with trying to get cute and finagle too much. And I think that there's something to be said for that.
No, I agree. The year before it was Alu went to Jacksonville. I'm not sure. I don't know if they think he's panned out or not.
Yeah, I mean, get your guy, and especially now. With the new rookie wage scale, you want to make sure you're not, you know, you can afford to you know, maybe
yes.
Roll the dice with your guy up top.
And that's why that the Redskins probably now more than ever are interested in you know, frog leaping a couple people and trying to make a play for RG3 if they think that he is the guy.
RG3 seems like he would be great for Mike Shanahan's schemes, I'll be honest. I mean,
yeah, I don't know. I haven't seen enough of him to have an opinion, but given what's available in the free agent market, quarterback wise, I think you could probably find a bridge to something, you know, because Andrew Luck is the only guy, quote unquote, coming out as a surefire thing.
Right.
Next year there'll be Barkley and then Landry. And is there another guy that decided to stay? Is that it?
I think that's it. So, okay. Yeah, there'll be some more quarterbacks. Yeah, I think RG3 is pretty close to a sure thing. I think he'll be good.
Okay.
I mean, I think he'll have success. But we're going to have to hear the whole is he the next Cam Newton thing, which is ridiculous because...
And it'll be the next Mike Vick because he's small. He's not 6'5".
Well, exactly. But I mean, like, or the next Colt McCoy. They're the only ones with the same.
I was going to say Steve Young, give him a little cred. But if you want to say Colt McCoy,
he and Colt McCoy are the only ones to hit certain plateaus in college statistics.
Well, Colt McCoy's hit another plateau. It's called the Cleveland Browns. Yeah.
Well, small, wiry fellas.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, I think that's all we got, right?
Yeah, I'm good. Peyton hopefully will not go anywhere between now and our next podcast, which most likely will come from Indianapolis.
Indianapolis, Monday, first day of Super Bowl week. We will be back. In the meantime, people subscribe via iTunes and travel safe. See you in the Super Bowl.